I'm fed up.
Dude, what is that guy's problem?
Why can't people just?
No one cares.
I'll do me and you do you and go and die.
When will all this change, dude?
The Frustrations Podcast.
Can't believe we're doing this again.
Basically, I don't want to be the first comic to go on stage in Bangalore after the lockdown.
Oh no, I'm very excited.
Okay, cool. Hey, hello and welcome to the Frustrations Podcast with me, Rupen Paul, and my amazing, funny co-host, Krita Srinivasan.
That's right, token co-host.
Yes, and welcome again to another episode. And we have a lot to talk about in this episode. I hope you guys have liked the other episodes that both of us have put together, even though it's not a video podcast yet.
Yeah. We have been working on the video podcast. We record the videos.
We have been working on it.
And like our hard disks are really like accumulating videos at this point.
We have a lot of videos which we'll put it up. Yes. And so that hopefully more people join us in this podcast and more people listen to our frustrations and like even your frustrations. We got you covered, guys.
That's what we are doing.
Covering our frustrations and your frustrations.
We're just echoing the frustrations of the Indian middle class.
We are your spokespeople. Is that a right word? Spokespeople?
Yeah, yeah. We are your spokespeople.
Okay. Cool. Let's get into this week's episode. Akritat, first of all, I want to ask you, okay? Like amidst all the things that are there in life, apart from, you know, like career and like, you know, love, friendship, all of that bullshit, right? Like the basic stuff that you
all of that bullshit,
need.
Very well put.
yeah, all of that, right? All of the other stuff that's a little complicated. The basic stuff between like, say, food, sleep, and what else? What else are the basic stuff? Like food, sleep,
exercise.
Sex, and exercise? Did you say exercise? Yeah, physical movement.
Yes.
Okay. I'll classify sex in the physical exercise for now. Okay.
Depends on how you're doing it. Like.
It depends on how you're doing it. So what do you think are the other... Is your number one?
I think Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Oddly enough. Like, I can't live without it, but not for too long. Like, I need it. Like, I go to Himachal and do detox for like 6 weeks, 6 days and all.
Huh.
But then after I come back, I'm excited. Because like, it's not about social media for me. Wi-Fi is like, it's more than that.
Yeah. No, Wi-Fi is more than that. Wi-Fi is also your I don't know. I think Wi-Fi in like a few years will be like an essential. It's like how there's food, water.
Yeah. And I think electricity. It is already. It's already an essential. I think like simple stuff like I want to walk into my kitchen and be like, okay, Google, what's the time?
Oh, you have one of those. You have a smart speaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
Wi-Fi.
Fair enough. Yeah. Wi-Fi. Yeah, I would say like sleep is like my number one. In like the list of, you know, the basic stuff that human beings need.
I think I can do without sleep. Like I can't do without
really?
It. No, like I'm not saying I can physically do without it. But like I don't look forward to like taking naps and all that.
I know, but you look forward to like, you know, taking like a good night's rest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't look forward to it. The night shows up and...
You don't look forward to it?
No. Like it's time to go to bed. I'm very like...
You know, you're never really happy. Like, oh my God, it's time to sleep. You're not happy about that?
No. Like my body is done for the day and it's a very routine thing.
Yeah, I think that's also like one of the reasons why you like Wi-Fi, I guess. Has something to do with that, right? Like I don't really like sleep. Anything that can keep me awake. So between food and sleep, what would be your priority? Between like really tasty food?
Oh, food
like
for
if someone
sure.
had to like... Food for sure?
Yeah, for sure. Any day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, love food.
So between 1 to 10, how much is your... How big a foodie are you?
Foodie and all, I'm not.
Let's start with that. Oh, so how do you define a foodie?
Like I'm not obsessed with food.
Okay. So like, how would you define someone who's obsessed with food? Like what is that one thing that ticks a person? Like
you know what
just
I think?
Liking food?
Yeah. I think picky eaters are actually foodies.
Picky eaters.
Yeah.
Are
actually foodies. If you think about it in like the most primary elementary form.
Why do you think so?
Because they have like so many hiccups about food. Like just eat it. Like I'm very happy getting meals. Like I need to eat 4 times a day.
Neither so you're not do I, like particular about like
neither
about
do I,
like the health value or like the taste thing, or like if it's done a certain way, you don't really care about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like I never till today don't know if my food has salt or not. I would just eat it and then my mom is like, how the hell did you eat that? There was no salt in it. I was like, oh shit.
Oh, nice. So you eat just to get by.
Yeah. Like sometimes I enjoy food. Like, I mean, I won't eat dust, but on a routine day, I don't think so. I think foodies are, how do you define them?
I define someone, a foodie, I would classify them as a foodie, is if that's the only thing that they're looking forward to. If that's the one thing that makes them really, really happy. Like nothing else. Like they're not even worried about going out and enjoying life. Like the only thing that makes them happy is being a foodie.
I think that's called being fat.
Like it's... it reminds me of that old Louis C.K. joke, right? Where he says, like, the meal is not done when you're full. The meal is done when you're sick of yourself.
Yeah, when you hate yourself so much that you're like, I can't put one more morsel of food in my body. Yeah, that's what it is.
I feel like, see, the thing is, there's no going around the fact that food is an addiction.
Yeah, it is.
And I think you kind of recognize people who have an addiction, right? Like, I know people who smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who are addicted to smoking as well. Yes. And they're two different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Exactly. Some people do it because it's like a nice activity and others are like hooked to it. Like cannot function bodily functions without cigarettes.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. I think it's the same goes with food, dude. Like there was an article in the paper about how there was a guy who got caught. Okay. And for thievery. He was a thief.
Uh-huh.
And he got caught because every day this guy didn't have a job and he needed to eat biryani. He needed. That was like a need for him.
So he stole biryani or stole money to buy biryani?
He stole money to buy biryani. If he stole biryani, I think people would be more forgiving.
Yeah, people are like, it's okay. Hungry, you should not. It's not yet that the hungry.
Yeah, but imagine that guy getting caught. He'll be like, why did you steal all this money? Are you doing like some drugs or are you like, you know, running some trafficking business out of this village? He'll be like, no, I just need to eat biryani.
Such unambitious dreams, though, that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he just...
But I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, like, would you at any point of your life, not be able to survive with a certain type of food?
No, dude. I can eat anything. As long as it's... I have only one like phobia or with food. It's not even a phobia. Like I can get over it very easily. But like the one thing where like maybe I hesitate a little is when my food looks like the actual animal that it...
Right.
Like, you know, I can't...
And has that happened?
Yeah. Oh, a bunch of times. Like once it caught me off guard completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was in Malaysia and I met this guy in my hostel in Chinatown I was staying. And it was this very nice backpacker hostel. So I met this guy who said that when you step out in the evening, you should definitely go down the road and like eat these frog legs. Okay. And he was eating them right there in front of me in the hostel. And they
while
looked,
talking to you.
Yeah. And they look like eating chips or like tapioca chips. Okay. Because they were just deep fried frog legs.
Yeah.
And he gave me one. I had it with peanut sauce and I was blown away. I was like, this is the best thing ever. I have to try this before I leave Malaysia.
Yeah.
That evening, I'd walk down this Chinatown night market or whatever, looking for frog. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't paying attention. This guy packs the frog and gives it to me. And I go back to my hotel. I open it. It's like a full frog.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was like a frog that was put into a sieve stick from one end to the other. And it was deep fried.
Oh, my God. In a skewer.
Yeah. So it looked like... Oh. It looked like a frog. And that just bothers me so much. Because now I know what it is. Until then, it was food. Now it's an animal.
Oh my God.
So it was...
Yeah,
it,
you can't have it... You can't have it look like the exact thing that you're eating.
Yeah. That's also why I never buy chicken from like the butchers. I buy it from these retail places.
Okay. Like a Nando's or something.
Yeah, like a Nando's or Licious or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
I can't look at those birds in the cage because I'm like, that's... Because I grew up vegetarian. That's the problem.
Oh, right. So like you didn't eat non-veg until what age?
No, I ate at an early age, but we would never make food non... So my dad was very proactive.
Oh, you wouldn't cook it at home?
Yeah, we don't cook meat at home. But my father grew up vegetarian and he hated it. Like, because he went abroad a lot and he realized it's a very horrible place to be in. Where you're limited by the stuff you can eat. So at an early age, he would send me and my sister to like our neighbor's house to eat meat. So I've eaten meat But like, I'm not comfortable with the idea of that's what my food looks like. Like, I don't want it running around. I want it cooked and in my plate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, here's the weird thing about vegetarians. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a couple of vegetarians and most of them are Brahmins. Okay. Most of them. Yeah. I don't see any other reason why anyone would be a vegetarian apart from the fact that he grew up that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Or health reasons. Or you saw...
Very few people...
Dude, one
I know,
second.
I mean, like...
Health right. reasons is okay. I still believe it. Okay, but you know, have you ever come across one of these videos online that say, if you see this video, you will never eat chicken again?
And do you know people who have stopped eating non-veg after seeing a video?
Yeah, but what an idiot. When the title says you will stop eating, why the fuck would you click it?
Why would you click it? Right. Yeah, but I also know that those videos work really well because I know two people mm-hmm. who have completely stopped eating. Like I have a friend, dude. Like I have a friend who used to eat everything. And she just went the other... First, she went vegan.
Oh, God.
And then, yeah, she went vegan and that was the other extreme. And she started losing a lot of weight. And I think she was training for like the defense exam, uh-huh. but for the Air Force. Uh-huh. Probably the Air Force. I should have just said the Air Force exam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she had to like put on some amount of weight. So she had to switch back to chicken. But now she's gone the other extreme. Like she can only eat chicken and she can only eat certain varieties of fish because like other varieties of fish are not like, you know, farmed ethically in these fish farms or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's sad.
So yeah, I do know certain people are really picky. I think that's kind of a little more sensitive version of what you felt like in Malaysia, right? Like when your frog looked like a frog. Your frog shouldn't look like your frog. A frog should look like a French fry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I paid for food, you know, like I didn't. That's my only thing. Like, and I ate it also. Mm-hmm. But throughout that, I had this little. You know, like this voice in my head that went, oh, you're eating a frog. And I think I would have been way more comfortable if it was some other animal that I've eaten more often.
Yeah, I know.
But like I only associated frogs with dirty ponds.
Yeah, I know. That's because of, being in India. We don't associate frogs with being something that you can eat.
Yeah. The visual was really weird in my head. It was that conflict of visuals.
Yeah, but I think it's got to be really hard for a vegetarian who's, you know, crossing the line and coming over the other side or coming out of the closet as a non-vegetarian. Because that's some process, dude. You can't just come out like that. Yeah. Like, first you have to just, like, because I have a few friends, like most of my friends were vegetarian when I met them and now the other side, and it's not because of me, all right? Mm. It's because they just made the shift and just wanted to experiment.
It's like how you find these right set of friends that teach you how to do drugs.
Yeah.
And you can trust them and you want to do drugs with them because you're like, you know what, with these people, I will do it. That's how it is for a vegetarian. Yeah, that's how it is for a vegetarian to find a good non-vegetarian, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't find the right guy.
That's the wrong way to do it. It shouldn't, like, you never give a joint to somebody who's never smoked it and be like, don't be a pussy, dude, smoke it. You don't say that. You're like, try it. If you don't like it, don't do it, right? That's exactly how.
Yeah.
That's why I think vegetarians get too much hate, Papa.
Yeah, yeah, true.
It's too sad. They're like, oh, where do you get your proteins from?
Yeah, I think this vegetarian hate thing is quite funny because this is something like, you know, people, they've made fun of them for the last 10 years and now it's suddenly changed. Now you can't make fun of someone being a vegan also.
Yeah, now it's become like, oh, dude, it's become very political. Like, it's my choice what I want to eat.
Yeah, oh, dude, we totally had to do the story at some point, dude. Like, remember, like, both of us had that gig in Hyderabad. Yeah. And before our gig, there was this vegan meat.
Oh, yeah, the vegan.
And by vegan meat, I don't mean, like, vegan meat, the meat that you eat, like, a meetup for vegans.
Oh, this is such a good story. We had a show at Hyderabad at this place. And right before us, there was a vegan convention, which is basically a bunch of people who gather to promote vegan. It's propaganda for veganism, okay? It's just extreme.
It's propaganda. And also, you got to understand that, like, being a vegan is quite hard. You simply can't be a vegan. See, like, I can be a comedian.
Yeah.
Or I can be, like, even, I can be a Christian and I don't have to know much of the stories. Or you can be a Hindu for that matter and not know much of the stories.
Yeah.
But if you're two of these people, like, if you're either a vegan or you're an atheist, you have to have proper proof.
Yeah. Right, because people cross-question you, they'll examine you. They're like, oh, but those shoes are made of leather.
Yeah, they break you apart and shrink you up. And you have to have facts based on which your veganism is a practice in life.
But
yeah,
you know,
so go ahead.
You know what my favorite part of that vegan meetup was though? Like when they finished the meet and they had to clear the auditorium so we can do our show. Yeah. And they all gather for a group photo and one of them goes, say cheese.
Yeah. And there was a girl, I don't even know if you remember this, there was a girl who said, guys, we don't say, say cheese.
What is this? It's like they had this 1 hour conversation about veganism. And that's
yeah,
how
the, and they said someone said cheese. Yeah.
That is so sad. Oh, but yeah, it was such a fun moment.
I think they had to say something like tofu or some shit like that just to get around this entire thing. But yeah, people are, I think vegans are the true foodies, that means, because you're saying like people are really picky about their food, are foodies, right?
Oh yeah.
So vegans are real foodies.
Yeah, they're very true foodies. They have very limited quantities of stuff that they can eat also. So I think it makes their life choices very easy.
Yeah, but you know what's the funniest thing about being vegan? I realize like there are vegan substitutes to meat, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's like how there's chicken wings, there's vegan wings. Do you know this?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's mock meat and all of that, right?
Yeah. Which is pretty, how do I put it, dude? Like the only way I can think of it is like there's this, I don't know why we quote so many comedians, but that's all we have grown up with, right? Like I think there's a Jim Jeffries joke and he says like, you know, lesbians, I don't know why lesbians dress up like men, right? Like if you hate men so much, don't dress up like one.
Yeah, pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side. Like no Jew ever dresses up like Hitler. Yeah, so the same thing with vegan meat. Like you guys hate meat, but your food still gotta look like meat.
Yeah, mock meat.
I think, you know, what will be a really cool thing in Malaysia, dude? Like, if you ever, like, if all of this after the lockdown fails, right, and you had to go to Malaysia and open a business, open a vegan business that sells vegan frogs.
It'll look like a frog, but it'll taste like soybean.
It'll taste like soybeans with tofu.
But it's damn sad. We are also doing exactly what we just preached.
Yeah, we are making fun of veganism. This is the thing of being a comedian, dude. Like, you can never hold, like, true to, like, an ethical belief.
Yeah, that's a problem. But it's also, like, an in thing to make fun of vegans and vegetarians. Like, hating, like, the moment somebody says they're vegan, right, the first reaction is, oh, so sad. Like, it's like hating EDM music.
Right.
Like, if you want to fit into society, you at some point have to be like, it's so overrated. It's just beats.
Yeah. But vegetarianism gets such a bad rap, right? For being like tasteless and not having so many options. I think it has a fuckload of options.
Yeah.
I can easily survive. I think I can easily survive with like a month of vegetarian food.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done that also.
Yeah, very easy.
Yeah.
Definitely. I survived a lifetime with that. I don't think...
Correct.
But I don't think vegetarian food looks good when you photograph it.
When you... I would say the same. Like no one wants to take pictures of great vegetarian food.
Yeah, there's nothing like either a vegetarian or like vegetarian Indian especially. Oh, it's not very photo worthy. Like
And I don't understand. Like I don't like. First of all, like forget about like you know just like taking photographs of vegetarian food. Uh-huh. Okay, like even the idea of taking photographs of your food, according to me, is so unethical. Like, why would you take a photo of your food, which you have paid great money to, which a lot of people can't afford, and put it up on a social media platform or put it up somewhere on the internet when there are thousands of people who don't have the, like, not able to make ends meet, who want to eat the same food as yours, but they can't. Yeah, but you're just showing off. Look at what I'm eating.
Yeah, that's the point of social media, that you just encapsulate.
But it's so different. But it's different, Krithath. Like I can do that with a car. Like if you have a car, by all means, show off.
Yeah.
All right. Because it's not like never have I, you know, like had a really tiring day and be like the solution for this horrible day is driving a Ferrari. Never have I had that. Okay. But there have been so many shitty days of my life, right? Like including one time when I came to your house, there was one time when I came to your old house and the thing is, it's not like I had a shitty day, but I had a long day because I had to drop my friend at the airport at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So I had like some 3 or 4 hours of sleep that night and we were working on something together and I came to your house and I ordered a huge Leon Grill burger.
Oh yeah. I remember
and
that.
I ate that burger and I felt like killing myself. Right. So like good food is like the solution to certain bad days, right?
That's true.
But there are a lot of people who can't afford that solution. So you should just shut the fuck up and not post pictures of your food.
But you know, there's also this one, paradox, okay? Because like you think about it, food photography is the thing, right? There are people who just dedicated to shooting food. Right?
Right.
And that is so sad because you can't even like make up your model too much. Like at the end of the day, the dish has to be really good.
Yeah, it has to be really tasty. Yeah. Yeah.
Like all credit goes to the people who made the dish. Otherwise, whatever you make up and you take the photo of as a food photographer, it's all false marketing.
Yeah, because you come there and you taste something and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think that we should just call that photographer to like do our face next time.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, take pictures of her face. He'll make it look good. Yeah.
We're all complaining about unethical journalism, right? I think this is where we should like, we should take this shit seriously. Yeah. Like for years so now.
Our point for this podcast is unethical journalism starts with food photography, guys.
Yeah, dude. For the generations now, we'll be looking at that KFC bucket and we're like, oh my God, look at that juicy, succulent chicken. Not once has it's always been like some.
I think the chicken was buried. Yeah, it was buried. And then unfortunately, Jesus. Like it was just too bad. Like and they just said, okay, here's some chicken, go fry it. And at least let's get some use out of this creature. Like, that was a failure most of its life in a farm outside New York City. Yeah, I know what you mean. So like food photography never lives up to its hype when you actually taste that food.
Next time you see a food photographer, you should ask them on their face. Like, how do you sleep at night? Like, how do you...
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody became a food photographer, no, recently.
Oh, it's awful, dude. Like the thing is, like, see, when you go to the gym, right, you have to flex your, and you get a little bit of a muscle, you have to flex that muscle to someone or else it's not like you went to the gym.
Correct.
And I think that's the same thing. It's the equivalent for like, you know, cooking food at home.
Yeah. Especially with the last lockdown.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm so glad it's over.
That was quite miserable. That was quite miserable, dude. Like I tried cooking myself, right? And out of like all the dishes that I cooked, I think one dish was good. And everything else was so horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, at least I knew by tasting it, like, this is not worth a picture. And it's not worth even being in, like, the same house as me.
Yeah, no, I never cooked that bad food. But, like...
Yeah, but it's also, like you mentioned in the earlier part of the podcast, like, your tolerance is really low.
Yeah, that's also true. But I think there should also be some hierarchy to what you're allowed to put up. As food.
Okay, so what would you think be the rules?
Like anything that took a substantial 4-5 steps to make. Like, you know, like four different vessels or containers were used to produce this dish. I think we should be allowed to put that. Like you had to first blanch it, then cool it, then blend it, then puree it. Then like, I don't know, separate it, then cook it. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? You put the effort, you deserve that photo.
But like, who cares, dude? Like, who cares about it? Like, see, like, for example, is it like, okay, like people sometimes take photographs of great food and they send it to someone else.
Correct.
So why would they do that?
It's the same thing.
Is it because like, I want you also to be part of this experience and like, I want you to salivate as well by looking at this amazing picture of this food?
Yeah. But I think we should be allowed to take photos of food that we prepared or cooked.
Huh.
But we shouldn't be allowed to take photos of something that you bought in a restaurant. That's just like... Doesn't that make a lot more sense?
Yeah, like you didn't work towards it. The only thing you did is drag your ass to a restaurant and paid money for that food.
Correct. Only to get that good photo.
Only to get that good photo and to really enjoy that taste.
Jesus.
And this is a little overrated, dude. Like, you know, when people... Like, I really feel food is overrated, man. That's my general opinion on this podcast, okay? Like, if I have just one line, I feel food is highly overrated and it gets too much of... hype in this world, because like that's especially like, you know, I heard like someone, I think I saw this on somewhere, and someone said like, if you want to make me happy, the way is to like, you know, buy me food, make food, or be food. And all I could say was like, is that all that takes to make you happy, you hungry piece of shit? Like, isn't there much more? What about your personality? What about you being a kind of funny or a good person?
That person's
what
a foodie.
About you? That person is a foodie.
That person is a foodie.
So like, even Like, even if you're having a fight with this person, right? Like, a horrible fight. If you make that person like a sandwich, they'll be like, you're the best.
Yeah, dude.
And after that sandwich is over, they'll come back to, like, you know, being a pain in the ass. Oh, my God. That's the wrong type of people, guys. Like, if you meet anyone like that who says that that person is going to hate you regardless of what you do.
I remember this. I read this somewhere or heard it in a movie or something. It's like, you're wasting your life if you're eating to survive. You're wasting your life if you eat so you can live. You should live so you can eat.
Wow.
Profound, no?
So, that is really profound. So, like, you can live so that you can eat, right? So, like, that person is just happy that he or she is being alive to eat.
Yeah, so they can, like, put stuff into their mouths tomorrow.
Okay. Like, I actually have a question, but, like, since I'm a dumbass, I'm sure you'll either have a smart answer or you'll give me an even dumber answer to this. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay.
Go for it.
I have no idea how this works. Like, technically, like, the more energy you need to spend, like, the more food you need, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, like, if you're a sports person, if you're an athlete or you're a soldier or you're doing something really physical.
Yeah.
You burn more calories, need, like, right nutrition, and you constantly feel hungry and you keep refilling. Correct. Right? Correct?
Correct.
So what is it with fat people and food?
I don't think anything I say will be appropriate at this point.
I don't understand it. Okay. So like where is the extra energy going?
I mean, maybe it requires extra energy to move that much more mass in the body. Like if I take it as a layman's example, say for example,
yeah, like
like if you had to eat one sandwich to climb 4 flights of stairs, this person needs to eat one sandwich to climb 1 flight of stairs because he's also carrying that much extra mass.
We are slowly stepping into the border of fat shaming, okay? Yeah. But like, we can't do anything now, okay?
Now it's too late. Now we are already recorded. Now
now we are there already, okay?
Yeah. Very good. But I think is there some place that you love eating at?
I have a couple, but like, I'll tell you what happened, okay? Mm. Okay, like I'll come clean. So like, until I had that IT job, right? All right, which I quit 2 years ago.
Correct.
There was almost at least like 4 days in my work week where I'd plan my day getting out of bed thinking like, okay, I'm going to eat at that place. And that will be like my highlight of my day.
Oh,
all right.
Yes. I remember those days. Yes.
Okay. That'll be that. But after I quit my job, it was remarkable. I had zero cravings. There was never a point where I'd be like, I really need to go and eat that particular food on that day. But if you came and told me like, dude, Rupin, you want to go eat egg rice at that place? I'd be like, yeah, cool. Let's do that.
Oh, yes. That is true. So you don't proactively seek food anymore.
I don't.
Yeah, see, that's what you're becoming a normal person again.
Becoming a normal person again, yeah. Correct.
There's something about the food industry that confuses like my brain too much is that anything with extreme pricing on food tastes extraordinary. Like, I don't mean really high price. I mean even really low price. Like, we eat that egg rice. Outside
this
Leela
egg
Palace.
Rice place, we got to describe this egg rice place to you.
Yeah, so
right?
it's
a friend Ajay, right? And if you meet Ajay, you'll be like, yeah, this guy is a guy who eats egg rice,
yeah,
and knows the best place for egg rice. this is not like you guys, like all of us who listen to this know about food trucks. This is a food auto, if I'm not wrong.
It's a food cart.
It's a food cart.
Yeah.
It has no closing. It's the basics. It has a gas connection.
Yeah. It's like a bed with 4 wheels.
Yes, exactly. I don't know how they come there, but they come there with a lot of stuff. And they keep like, you know, making egg rice till like the wee hours of the night. So everyone gets like really drunk, like back then before like someone ate like a bat. we all used to go there. Like everyone used to be a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, just have like this really spicy egg rice that will be made like late in the night, about 11 o'clock. That's when his business is peaking.
Yeah, it's like post 11, most stuff is starting to close. Even if other places are open, we would still go here to eat egg rice. And we pay him like,
and it's the opposite of hygiene. You can't, it's $20 and you can't, it's not hygienic at all. It's made on a cart.
Yeah, it's made on a cart and he's like, especially post COVID, it's like some next level unhygienic. Right? Yeah, oh so God, that, it's awful. But it tastes beautiful. Anything that's remotely yes, unhygienic for some reason tastes great. Similarly.
Pani puri.
Yes, pani puri, masal puri guy. We see rats outside a
masala
shop.
Masala puri guy.
We still eat.
Masala puri guy. Yeah. I need to tell you one story. We'll come back to your egg story guy, right? Done. And we'll come back to your egg story guy and about like the point that you were making about like food being hygienic and costly, right? Like this chaat in India is like beautiful, right? Like there was one place I went to have a chaat one day and it was next to, he's not even made an effort. It's just next to a public toilet. Like, at least do a little bit, you go further, you pay a little bit extra to the cops, they'll let you stand there. But he has chosen that place because of a nice pot he's got over there.
Right.
All right. So I said, like, dude, like, screw it, I can't eat it. And then we went to another place and there we ate it because there were only like two rats over there. I was like, okay, at least only rats. No, there's no public toilet and all that.
See, that's the hygiene standard of Indian street food. Like,
yeah.
Like, he sneezed.
It's like how you have.
Yeah. He sneezed, but at least he, like, tried to look away.
Yeah.
Papa, he couldn't turn in time, but look at his effort.
Yeah, but I've eaten that food and I'm still survived. So and it tasted really good, like you were saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like it when it's really like cheap, $20 egg rice, like enough like to feed an entire village, tastes delicious. Mm-hmm. Same thing, we do these corporate shows, right, for Taj groups and stuff, and they give us these complimentary buffet dinners. We eat egg rice there also, right? But on the menu it's priced at 450 rupees plus taxes.
Yeah.
Tastes like extremely delicious. So you either pay really cheap or really expensive and the food is just mind-blowing. But for some reason, they're all following the same recipe, right?
Yeah.
Like, how is this happening? What is this? How? What? There's a hole in the system here.
Yeah, there's some gap in logic over there.
Yeah, there's some conspiracy going on. Like, how can only the cheapest and the most expensive places master food?
Like, here's what I know, okay? Like, by tasting the food, okay? Like, I have like an opposite thing. Like, if I taste the food and like, you know, the food is like really shitty.
Yeah.
Okay? And that it tastes horrible. I also know when I see the bill, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah.
That's some weird thing. Because like, you know, every time it's really like very mediocre food, the costs are extremely high for some reason.
That's what I mean. Like also, you know how they say you can never replicate this in your own house.
Yeah.
Like, macha, I tried making it, but that same taste will never come.
Hmm.
That means there's clearly some things that are going into our food that nobody is willing to talk about. No.
Correct.
There's no sting journalism happening in the food industry and we need it. That's what my point is. We need to like...
Correct.
Ask food photographers why they're spreading false messaging.
Yeah.
And we need to dig deeper into street food culture and find out what is these hidden ingredients.
Yeah. We need to get to the bottom of this, guys.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to let us know what your favorite food conspiracies are.
Yes.
Right. You can please send us a DM. Please, guys. Yeah. Someone send a DM.
From that time, we're asking. Nobody's sending. Only what?
Yeah.
Last week, Rupin cried and all.
Yeah, I was in a very bad shape. I called Krithath, like, dude, what are we doing this for? But then it's still good. At least I do it for Krithath.
Yeah, same. I do it for
him. And he does it for me.
Correct. Beautiful. See you on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for
tuning
in.
See you guys. Thanks for listening.